الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا وسندنا وشفيعنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المأسومين المظلومين، صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله، وعلى جدك وأبيك وأمك وأخيك وتسعة المعصومين من ذريتك. I begin in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, and I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us these momentous evenings. As sad as it may be, and as wretched as the enemies may have presented themselves to be in this period of time, almost 14 centuries ago, we are left with honor, dignity, strength. We are left with optimism that our lives can be better and that we can be successful. Allah is indeed the best of teachers. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is Allah not the wisest of the wise? And the fact that He teaches us wisdom and He gives us wisdom, He gives it to us. يُؤْتَى الْحِكْمَةِ He gives hikmah. مَنْ يَشَى And wisdom comes into full motion when there is knowledge, there's ilm, there's understanding, there's experience, there is reflection. In that as we get closer to the night of Ashura, in the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, this momentous occasion for the world to know where truth lies. For if you look around the world today, most of the world does not know where the real truth is. Allah says, لَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Most of mankind does not know. And it is our obligation to teach them, to show them. And what better opportunity has Allah given us than these great moments in time that we may shed tears. We will cry. We will be donned in black as we are, as a protest. When people ask, why do you wear black? Why do the lovers of Ahlul Bayt wear black? It is a protest to the injustices done upon the representatives of Allah, the very representatives that Allah sent as a gift unto mankind, and mankind turned around and abused them and killed them. But the wisdom of Allah is such that if you deal well with the members of the representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the humans benefit. And if you abuse them, even then there is a benefit. Because the representatives of Allah are holistically beneficial whether you take them or reject them. The one who rejects them, of course, gets punished. The one who rejects and abuses is the one who will be punished. But the recipient of that abuse, the oppression, therefore gets rewarded. Shaheed, as we say, shuhada. A shaheed, by definition, people think when a person becomes shaheed, it means you die. That's not what the meaning of shahada is. Shahada's true meaning is to bear witness. When a person bears witness, particularly to the greatest of witnesses, Allah says, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا What does it mean? Am I not your Lord? They said, yes, we bear witness. Bearing witness in the shahadatain, when we say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَوَاتَ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدُ The fact that we bear witness, the implication therefore is that our life should be around the witness. Meaning when we say we do tawakkal ala Allah, fi sabilillah, not fi sabilin nafs, but fi sabilillah, it means I bear witness day in and day out that my intentions, my actions, my proactiveness and reactiveness, progression, regression, whatever you want to call it, is for the sake of Allah only. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. Everything is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when a person bears witness. And bearing witness here in the highest form is when someone gives their life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When someone gives their life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that individual proves a verse in the Quran. Allah said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not achieve righteousness until you give with that which you love most. No one loves more than themselves. We love wealth, we are greedy. We love power, we are greedy. We love the limelight, we are greedy. But all of that is to satisfy the self. We think that the money will save ourselves. We think the limelight will promote ourselves. Because we are promoting our own selves. Because the self is the most precious thing to us. In times of difficulty, you will see, as I gave an example the last time in Hajj, when there is difficulty, the individual recoils and takes and protects himself because he knows it's time now. Or imagine, God forbid, somebody's in the ocean somewhere and they're sinking. You see your loved one. You want to help them, but there is only so much you can help them. Thereafter, you have to save yourself. And you have to witness the departure of the very loved one that you may be willing to die for, but you just cannot. Because protecting ourselves is so important. So Allah says, قُوْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارٌ وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارُ. Oh, you all believers, save your souls. You see? What does it mean? Save yourselves from the fire of hell. Because Allah says, nothing is more precious to you than yourself. So when we look at Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala, they were people who had a self. They were dignified. They had desires. They loved the comforts too. The human beings after all. They loved their children. They loved their wives. They loved their daughters. They all had the same kind of love you and I have. But they sacrificed in the state of shahada. Meaning, to them there was nothing more important than Allah. Even them themselves, they were willing to ransom themselves. When a person is willing to ransom themselves, you cannot get a better example for you and I to follow in our day-to-day lives. The sad thing is, when an individual indulges in haram acts, particularly drinking, stealing, cheating, fornicating, that individual is the opposite scale. That the Imam is saying, I did not ask you to kill yourselves, to give your lives on the front lines, but at least stay away from that haram. If you love Allah, at least stop that. We are giving our lives. We are perfect. We have been purified with a thorough purification. But look at how far we are taking it as a role model for you to follow. Are you following us? This is what the Imam is saying to me when I disobey Allah. Which is a beautiful relationship of shahada. Meaning shahada, believe it or not, brothers and sisters, I say this to you, one can achieve shahada without death. One can reach a level of shahada where you can become shaheed. As you know that our messenger in Ahlul Bayt and all the messengers and prophets were born shaheed. They were born shaheed. They were tested, alright. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam was tested to reach higher levels. But they were already shaheed. They bore witness from birth. They had given themselves at birth. When Isa alayhi salam says, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت. When Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, speaks in the cradle, compare this miracle in the Quran, you won't find this in any scripture on earth. And some claim that the Messenger of Allah copied it from the Bible. Or he copied it from the Old Testament because he was traveling to Syria as a merchant. Can you copy this? Can you bring this? Can a human being bring such a miracle? You find in the Bible the first miracle Jesus performs is he turns water into wine. And with all due respect to our Christian brethren, he insults his mother. He says, woman, what have you to do with me? For my time has not yet come. Is that how a man of reverence speaks to his mother? When his mother comes to him and says, Jesus, we have run out of wine. And she says to her, woman, what have you to do with me? Can you compare those morals? And those principles compared to this, where Maryam alayhi salam brings the child, he says, Ya ukhta Haruna, ma kana abukin. Your generation was of pure generation. How did you do this? She says, Fa'asharat ilayhi. She points to him and the baby speaks in the cradle. He says, Qala inni abdullah. I am a servant of God. Atani al-kitaba. I have been given the scripture, the book, the Injil. وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا And I have been made a prophet. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ And I bring good news wherever I am. وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ And I have been enjoined upon, it's been enjoined upon me prayer and zakat. وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي And I have been made kind to my mother. Allahu Akbar. What a relationship. Compare this with that scripture. This accusation is nonsensical. I am so blessed to be standing here speaking about Imam Hussein, who is from the progeny of Isa alayhi salam, who exemplifies the highest form of morality where there is no contradiction in the religion of Islam up to that extent, to the nth level, that even in Karbala we will speak tonight when Ali Akbar alayhi salam is charging forward and hitting enemy lines, that while he's moving towards Karbala, the relationship of a father to a son and how they talk is a role model for you and I to follow, which no religion in the world has. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, we have been blessed with the best role models. Nothing conjectural for us to dilly-dally about or to cherry-pick for our own, you know, whimsical good, and then we leave the rest categorically or conveniently. No. There is not an ayah in the Quran that doesn't touch the heart of an individual and teaches him to be a moral individual. Morality, brothers and sisters. Khulq. Akhlaq is the pluralized form of khulq. Khulq, by definition, means disposition, an attitude, a character. I've seen some very beautiful people. I admire them when I see them. I said, wow, what a beautiful structure. Look at this individual. Perfectly formed, their nose, their eyes, they're magnificent to look at. And then you find out this is a big crook. Oh, he's a swindler, he's a thief, he's actually a big crook. And suddenly all the beauty just vanishes. You look at the person, there's no more beauty. He says, ah, ugly. Where's the ugliness come from? Not in the creation of Allah, but in the misdeeds of mankind, that when their misbehavior takes place, all their beauty suddenly vanishes. Or a person looks so beautiful until they start talking. And then suddenly everything crumbles in front of you. Ugliness comes out. Because this boneless piece of flesh, Imam Ali mentions, humans have this, they say they, Imam Ali says, they speak with a boneless lump of flesh. They see through layers of fat. And they hear with bone. Allahu Akbar. Imam Ali explains this in Najib al-Agha. This insan speaks with a lump of flesh. Look how simplified it is. He sees through layers of fat and he hears through a bone. How simple it is, yet how complicated it is. You ask a surgeon and ask him what is the complication behind the ear. How Allah has designed the X, Y and the Z coordinate, as you call it, Z, huh? Where everything is in three dimensions. The fashion of Fatabarakallah Ahsan al Khaliqeen. That's the khulq Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates in this man. He says, I fashioned him so beautifully. But look at his misdeeds. That the minute he starts talking through the same lump of flesh, Imam says, the same lump of flesh elevates a man, the same lump of flesh lowers a man. Such that when those words are kept behind your tongue before they are released, it's your property. Release it, it's public property. And you can never reclaim it. You can never take it back. You can never erase it. That's how wisdom dictates. They say a wise man thinks before he speaks. A fool speaks and then thinks. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. There's a beautiful hadith that I will reiterate right now in Hadith al-Mi'raj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Ahmad, speaking to the Holy Prophet in the heavens, when a servant of mine remains hungry and guards his tongue, then I teach him wisdom. Hear him, it's also him slash her. Then, if such a person is an unbeliever, this wisdom will become a witness against him and a hardship.
And if he is a believer, then his wisdom will become from him an illumination, a logical reasoning, a healing, and a mercy. He will know what he did not know before, and he will see what he did not see before. Meaning Allah expands for me knowledge, wisdom, foresight. We all can have it, but when we control. Tomorrow I'll speak about patience and prayer. The pinnacle of action that Imam Hussein exemplifies tomorrow night, on the night of Ashura. I want us to really indulge in this, how the Quran speaks about it. But tonight we speak about sacrifice, particularly with the focus on our khulq, our attitude, our akhlaq. Are we pleasant people? Are we generous? Are we kind? Allah says, the first thing that I will show this individual who saves himself from speaking, careful, not impulsive, not jumpy, not acting foolish, is I will show him his or her own faults. There is nothing better in life for an individual to be given as a lesson than knowledge of our own selves, and particularly our own weakness. As Imam Ali mentions, he says, a true warrior on the battlefield is the one who takes account of all the broken links on his armor. When you have a broken link on your armor on the battlefield, Imam says, watch out for that region. If the enemy is astute and sharp and notices that weakness, that is where the enemy will strike first. So guard it, protect it, fix it quickly, because the enemy will not give you time to fix it. You and I, brothers and sisters, have weaknesses in many folds. And we're living like what we call sitting ducks, being taken advantage of by evil forces. So when Allah is talking about vigilance and uphold your prayer, أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف, Allah cares for me. He doesn't want my weakness to be taken advantage of. He doesn't want me to fall flat on my face. He wants me to look beautiful inside and out. And He wants my tongue to be beautiful. He wants my character to be beautiful, such that the world loves you. It's logical what I just explained, brothers and sisters, is it not? That when you see a magnificent looking person, handsome or beautiful, but the minute their intellect is ugly, or their character is ugly, doesn't the person look ugly? That's why the Messenger of Allah said, the most beautiful thing a person possesses is intelligence and intellect. And if they polish it, and their khulq, their akhlaq, compensates it properly, then they are the most beautiful people in the world. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I'll give you an example. See, we are, many of us, I'm sorry to say, and I point a finger at myself first, we have a level of arrogance in us. We're arrogant people. Not me, Muslim, Shia, human race, we're an arrogant people. We have a tendency to be arrogant because we have not taken account of ourselves. Most of us are in that stage, what we call nafsi ammara. There are three stages. Tomorrow we will examine what the one with nafs al-mutma'inna achieves, which is Imam Hussein. Tonight when we talk about Ali Akbar, these are people, all the people in Karbala, with that famous verse of Surah Al-Fajr, he says, Ya ayyatuha nafs al-mutma'inna irji'i. Nafs al-mutma'inna is the highest form of nafs. You and I can reach it. When you reach nafs al-mutma'inna, you do become shaheed. You are born a witness to Allah. 24 hours, your movement is entirely for Allah. But the beauty of this discussion, brothers, is not so that we please Allah because Allah is in need of somebody being subservient to Him. No, Allah becomes the center core of my movement because I become the best recipient of its gifts and everyone around me benefits from it. We become beacons of light for each other. That's why it's so important to talk about it. When Allah tells us to be like that, when Allah says for us to be shaheed while alive, it's the greatest honor. You will rarely find people on earth like that. You will need to travel the earth up and down, inside and out, even in great learning places, to find that gem who's a shaheed, who's doing fi sabilillah, is very few. They are so precious.
that you and I need to encourage ourselves to become those precious stones. Our hulk. Look at what Allah says in Quran. We need to touch the spirit of the Quran. Surah Furqan, verse 25, Surah 25, verse 63. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. My worshippers, when they walk on the earth, they are humble. Like Sulaiman, like Luqman says to his son, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكْ وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكْ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. لَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Luqman says to his son, don't walk exultingly on this earth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah does not love, لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. فَخَر, I'm great, special. Allah says, drop it. You're nothing. You're a mud creature. This very earth you're stomping on is the one that's going to absorb you tomorrow. And then when someone washes your body, he can talk everything about you and you can't even lift a finger to challenge him. Do you know what that means? You're nothing. But when a believer, like the blessed messenger of Allah, on this earth upon his departure, how blessed is his body. Allahu Akbar. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. When the messenger of Allah passed away from this earth, people didn't even care about his burial. They say, we heard the messenger was buried. Can you imagine the shahadatain when we say, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. This battle we're talking about, Karbala, when the Prophet says, ana harbun liman harabahum, wa silmun liman salamahum. This whole event of Karbala is about the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has been neglected. The shahadatain is being neglected. And we are rising to the occasion to rise to the world to tell us that this shahadatain is being neglected, that the messenger of Allah has died, that even one piece of hair that comes out of his body is so precious, because he was born shaheed and he died shaheed and he suffered, that there were people who did everything possible. There was a man, the Prophet said, does anybody have a claim against me? He said, yes, I have a claim against you. Prophet said, come and claim it. He says, when you were riding on the camel, while you were holding your stick, you touched my back. So the Prophet says, so what do you want? He says, I also want to touch your back. The Prophet takes his shirt off and he kisses it. He hugs it. The Prophet says, my blessed messenger, you are so beautiful. I have such an opportunity to touch you that this blessed messenger dies. People don't even care where he's buried. They're busy taking power. See, greed, ugly things. With greed and our misdeeds, and when we steal and when we reject and when we give our religion to mankind and not Allah's religion, look at the carnage in the world today. Look at how many people are being mutilated. Go to our countries where our brothers of lovers of Ahlul Bayt are living, like in Bahrain, and see how oppressed they are. They can't even make a living. They're hardly making a living, for others have taken control over them and they're choking them only because they happen to love Ahlul Bayt. I say, this is the love we're talking about. When we talk about the massacre in Karbala, we're talking about a massacre of the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's not misunderstand this. This massacre of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the massacre of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm not stretching the imagination at all, because the messenger said, ana harbun liman haramun. Hussein minni wa ana min al Hussein. Hussein is from me and I am from Hussein. So this battle is this, shahadatain, brothers and sisters, akhlaq, khulq. I'm bringing all of this together for us to understand that the messenger's khulq was of the highest character. The reason we love him, his characteristic was so magnetic, so beautiful, that 24/7 he submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Isa alayhi salam in his cradle, he's protecting his mother, he's saving his mother, he's performing a miracle, and he's a proof upon mankind that he is born a shaheed. Salawat ala Muhammad wa al Muhammad. Allah says in the Quran, he says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Humbleness, brothers and sisters, humble. That when they meet jahil people, the instigators, you. You say, no problem. He doesn't say, step outside, come on, let's go. Let's get it on. Give it to him. punch him.
No. A believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks kindly. Look at the character of Imam Hussein. Look at the khulq of Imam Hussein. We are commemorating his shahada. Where is our khulq, brothers and sisters? I hate to say this, and I want to relate this. Respect. You know who's a believer? Who recognizes Allah? A believer is while he's sitting, or she's sitting, they are aware of who's next to them, who's in front of them, who's behind them. They are aware of their obligations. And they are making sure they're not sitting on anybody's property. And they are making sure they're not burdening anybody. And they are so careful in their character that people love to have them in their presence. Unfortunately, here we find when Latmiya is recited, people are talking, hugging, yapping, chatting recklessly. What for? Ah, we came to listen to the shahada of Imam Hussein. What for? Oh, he's the best. Really? What do you mean best? Sayyid al-Shuhada. Yeah? Well, I've got so many people out there who were killed on the battlefield. Why is yours so important? What are you going to answer? Says Imam Hussein was mutilated. Sure, there are others who were mutilated. There were others who were bombed and their bodies were dismembered. What's yours? What's special about yours? Oh, his family was killed. Sure, there were other battles. Families were killed. Children were killed. Wives were killed. Sons were killed. Daughters were killed. Why is yours special? What are you going to say? First answer is the representative of Allah. So I said, yeah, so? What's it to you? Ah, if I don't emulate that akhlaq, it's a shame on me to say that. We come to these gatherings. You remind, and you remind, and you remind. But it goes through deaf ears, doesn't it? Allah says, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. Remind them. Reminding is beneficial. The one who will listen to you is the one whose heart palpitates towards the truth. Yahsha, the one who is aware of his responsibility and her responsibility. That yes, I'm in a public place. I'm a representative of Allah in a small way. I better behave properly. No. Somebody comes and organizes, brother, please. Hey, who are you? Or you come to say to a child, please be quiet. The parent says, hey, who's this to tell my son? Don't. This is where all the problems start. Because we're in the state of nafs-e ammara. But when an individual questions his integrity, Imam Ali alayhi salam was ma'soom. Brothers and sisters, let me show you something. An amazing reality. Imam Ali alayhi salam was ma'soom. Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Fatima al-Zahra was ma'sooma. Imam, all the imams were ma'soom. Listen to the dua of Imam Zainul Abideen. Listen to the dua of Imam Ali alayhi salam, this dua kumail. Although it was transcribed to him from Khidr. He said, Dhalam to nafsi. How can you be dhalam to nafsi? Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are ma'soom. How can you be one who says that you have done dhulam on yourself? How? You are ma'soom. You cannot do dhulam on yourself. It's a good question people ask. Where, for example, you find Yunus, he says, Inni kuntu min al-zalimeen, fastajabna lahu wa najjaynahu min al-gham, wa kadhalika nunji al-mu'mineen. Allahu Akbar. Where Yunus is in the belly of the whale. He says, Inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. I am in a state of darkness. Look at the khulq. Brothers and sisters, khulq of tonight. You find a ma'soom individual is begging. They say Imam Zainul Abideen when he went into sujood. His khulq, his disposition, his akhlaq. Listen to this. That he would cry so much in the sujood. He is known as Sayyid Sajideen. Zainul Abideen. When people came to him, he said, MashaAllah, we're so impressed. He said, no, I'm ashamed. My grandfather was better. My grandfather, Ali ibn Abi Talib, was better. But when they cried tears, pools of tears. How come you're ma'soom, ya Imam? What are you doing? You see, the Imam is talking to Allah. He's not talking to humans. To humans, he's perfect. He makes no mistake to anybody. He is infallible to us. But to Allah, can you compare anything to Allah? Allah says, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَوْ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. Nothing can be compared. So even a ma'soom, when he sees himself in the presence of Allah, to him is nothing. He's full of mistakes. That's why they say, ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So when our imams are begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not because they are not ma'asum. They are looking at Allah. They are not talking to us and says, Dalam tu nafsi. Did the imam ever talk to us and say, Dalam tu nafsi? Never. Did the messenger of Allah ever turn to people and say, I made a mistake? Never. They only talk to Allah in front of their Lord. They are subservient. Unlike Iblis, who is arrogant and he claims to be superior, that he is refusing to obey the commands of Allah. Then when Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, I'm going to place on this earth a khalifa. Shaitan says, I cannot do this. Allah says, I command. It's my command. And look at the walaya here, brothers and sisters. People say, how can we follow Ahlul Bayt? How can we love them? How can we look at them? How can we use them as wasta? Or as they say, we do the shafa'ah. How can we do shafa'ah? I bring you the best example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us to bow to anybody but Him. Why did He command His angels, who are His best creation after us, to bow to Adam, not to Allah? Why didn't Allah ask the angels to bow to Allah when Allah put the spirit into Adam? Allah says, no, you bow to Adam. See, Shaitan knew the wisdom of Allah right away, because when everybody bows to Allah, there is no indication as to who's superior. But Allah says, I have chosen Adam. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. I have chosen my representative, the one who is from me, the one who is going to give his soul for me, the one I love. Like when Imam Ali alayhi salam slept in the bed of the messenger, when the messenger was migrating, Allah asked Jibreel and Mikael, you are brothers. Who's willing to sacrifice the life for the other? And Jibreel says, my life is too precious. And Mikael says, my life is too precious. Allah says, both you angels, go down and see a brother who's giving his soul for the love of Allah to save his brother, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We find that the messenger of Allah, through these examples of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is giving. These expositions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about are all towards the state of what we call, we need to move from this nafs al-ammara to a state of nafs al-lawwama. Qul. See? What is it? Allah swears by the nafs al-lawwama. La uqsimu bin nafs al-lawwama. This nafs al-lawwama is a self-accusatory soul. Something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with me. See, the Prophet loves people like that. Prophet was so humble. His nature was so humble. So humble. But yet Shaitan exposed himself. He said, never. The messenger of Allah, even when Adam alayhi salam comes on this earth, he says between he and his wife, Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Our Lord, we have done burdened. We have burdened ourselves. Zalamna anfusana. وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا, and if you do not have mercy upon us, وَتَرْحَمْنَا, meaning if you don't protect us, istighfar, ghafara, means to protect, وَرْحَمْنَا, and have mercy upon us, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, we will be losers. Humbleness, khulq of humbleness. When Allah says, my believer, when they walk on this earth, they're humble, humble. Imam Hussein in Karbala was humble, but strong against the enemy. الَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَا بَيْنَهُمْ. Firm against the enemy. You and I need to be firm against the enemy. Don't dilly-dally. Don't dangle, brothers and sisters. I want us to focus, brothers and sisters. Our humbleness is far. You know why the Messenger of Allah was the most loved? Was because he was the most humble. Historians say that Jibreel came to the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Allah loves you so much, He wants to give you the authority of the universe. The Prophet said, I don't want it. I don't want it. He said, why? He said, perchance I will become arrogant. I love my state of humbleness. I love being a servant. Abduhu wa rasulu. Look at him in Salah. What do we say? Abduhu wa rasulu. He's a servant and a messenger. This is the khulq you and I need to follow, brothers and sisters. We are Muslims, we do shahadatain. Let's not be arrogant. Quran is replete. So many arguments like this Quran mentions. And when you meet an ignorant person, you're gentle. You say, salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, good example. riding a horse once, and a man comes and vilifies him and starts to taunt him because the Umayyad machine where he was already working. The Umayyad machinery, brothers and sisters, if I explain to you, there's no time tonight, it's a vicious machinery. Vicious. The kind of machinery designed to take the very essence of this beautiful talk that I'm talking about and to ask the people of Islam today around the world, ask them about the merits of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam, ask them the merits of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. They are blind, they don't know, they are oblivious. You read the Sahih books, there's only 700 hadith attributed to Imam Ali alayhi salam. 700. And people who hardly saw the messenger, like Abu Huraira, more than 6,000 hadith. How is it possible that Ali ibn Abi Talib was born, when he opened his eyes, the first person he looked at was the Prophet, and when the Prophet closed his eyes to leave this world, the last vision here was of Ali ibn Abi Talib. How is it that there are only 700 hadith of him? Because the idea is to strip us of this shifa'ah, this connection which Allah had already started when he said to the angels, bow to Adam, because I have chosen these people. If you have a problem obeying and following and loving the creation that I have put on this earth as my representative, and you want to circumvent it and come straight to me ignoring them, then you are ignoring my religion, the way Shaitan refused to obey Allah and said, I will worship you, but I will refuse to bow to the one you command me to bow to. This is no different in relationship, brothers and sisters. That's why when we make dua, brothers and sisters, let's make dua like this. We should say, وَبِالْحَقِّ مُحَمَّدٍ وَأَنْتَ الْمَحْمُودِ وَبِحَقِّ عَلِيٍّ وَأَنْتَ الْأَعْلَى وَبِحَقِّ فَاطِمَةٍ وَأَنْتَ فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَبِحَقِّ الْحَسَنِ وَأَنْتَ الْمُحْسِنِ وَبِحَقِّ الْحُسَيْنِ وَأَنْتَ قَدِيمُ الْإِحْسَانِ وَبِحَقِّ تسأت المعصومين من ذرية الحسين وبحق كاف ها يا عين صاد وبحق هام ميم عين سين قاف آس. الله أكبر. Allah will never say no to you. Allah says, this creature of mine has understood where is haq. الله أكبر. Brothers and sisters, let's understand our Ahlul Bayt are not just iconic figures to be kept on our mantelpiece. The hijab that we talk about, sisters, I'm going to talk about, inshallah, tomorrow if time permits. And the hijab of the brothers. This haya that we need to practice is all part of the khulq that I'm touching. And inshallah, once we reach the stage of nafs al-lawwama, where we accuse ourselves and Allah exposes my weakness, then hopefully, after I fix my weakness, and after I take all the broken links in my body, and I fix it, that when the day comes, when Malakul Maut comes and meets me, he will meet me in this way. He says, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, O you who has achieved success, mutma'inna, meaning a state of tranquility, one who has reached that clarity, vision, shaheed. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyan. Come back. Fadkhuli fi ibadi. Listen to the hadith, brother, and I conclude tonight. There's a beautiful story in the Quran, and I want you to know this. In Surah Safat, verse 101, Allah speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salam being commanded to sacrifice his son. A little history here. Ibrahim alayhi salam was an old man, very old. When the angels appeared in front of him to tell him that we bring you good news, that you shall have a son. Brothers and sisters, I've seen fathers and mothers who've waited to have children for a long age. And when their child is born, I've seen an older man in his 50s hold his baby and he cradles it. And I come near him and I touch the baby and he's happy. And I said, how important is this child to you? He said, brother, I'm a 50-year-old man. To have a son in my hand, now he was only 50. They say Ibrahim was well in his 90s. Well in his 90s. Old man. Put this connection, brothers and sisters. Allah gives him a son called Ismail, the eldest. Listen to what Quran says. He says, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ. Verse 101, we gave him the good news of a boy possessing forbearance. Halim, Allahu Akbar. Khulq. The greatest khulq is halim, patient.
فلما بلغ معه السعي قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى. الله أكبر. إبراهيم old age comes to his young handsome son and says to Ibrahim, my Lord has told me in my dreams that I must sacrifice you, kill you. Look at the Quran. It doesn't lie. It does not lie. It speaks the truth. إِنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ, meaning I have been commanded to slaughter you. What do you think a typical child would say? I think his father is not okay. This is a prophet of Allah. Ismail is a prophet of Allah. What a trial! After old age, you get a handsome young child. It's not only handsome in outwardness, but his character is impeccable. It's priceless. Quality is superb. Allah says, slaughter him. Wow. Look how Ismail replies. قَالَ يَا أَبَتِي اِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. Oh my father, do what you're commanded. What a lesson! Allahu Akbar, you'll never find a book like this in the world. The Quran speaks like this. Oh my father, do it! Allahu Akbar, where is this child? I will search the sky and the earth. I would love to find a child like that. Allah said, these people are not ordinary. You're blessed to have them. I'm bringing this story because the same event took place when Ali Akbar was with his father, Imam Hussein, in Karbala. Imam Hussein is moving towards Karbala and he goes into a sleep swoon. And the Messenger of Allah says to him, oh my son, you are coming soon to me. Your slaughter is awaiting you. And Imam wakes up, he says, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And Ali Akbar was on the horse next to him, they were moving towards Karbala. And he looks at his father, he says, Baba, what is it? He says, we are going towards being slaughtered. And Ali Akbar says to his father, Baba, are we not on haq? Imam Hussein says, indeed. Ali Akbar, may Allah bless his soul, he says, Baba, let's go. Let's go and give ourselves, for if that is the pleasure of Allah, let's go, let's move. Allahu Akbar. But you know what's interesting in this surah, in this ayah? I won't read the whole thing, I don't have time. They say that when Ibrahim was ready to slaughter his son, he took his son Ismail, handsome young child. Which father can have the strength to hold his blessed son and to put him on his lap? But he closes his eyes. Ibrahim closes his eyes. He can't bear to see the blood gushing out of his son. It's a tough command. Tough. You think you and I have a difficult command? We got the salah 5 times a day. We got the fasting. We got the zakat and the khums. And kindness to our parents. Huh? And we're complaining. Can't eat pork, can't drink alcohol. We're complaining why Allah has made all this. Ibrahim is being told to kill his beloved son. Does he complain? He's asking his son. He says, do it. If'al. He turns him on his lap. Covers his face. And he moves the knife. And Allah says, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. We have postponed this. We have kept it for a period. ذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. Meaning there is a great sacrifice that will come because of this action. Ask even the Christians, they would love to associate this with the crucifixion of Jesus alayhi salam. But Isa was not killed. وَمَا قَتَلُوا وَمَا صَلَبُوا وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. He was neither killed nor crucified. Jesus alayhi salam was never killed. But here's the interesting thing, that even when Jesus was on the cross, supposedly, he complained, he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me? How can a prophet of God, who gives his soul to Allah, ever complain when his slaughter comes to the moment, when Ali ibn Abi Talib is being hit with the sword, he says, Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba, I have succeeded by the Lord of the Kaaba. When Imam Hussein is going forward, he says, Ridham bi qada'i wa tasliman li amri, accept this qada, ya Allah, I am moving forward towards your decree. When Ibrahim is taking his son Ismail and he's slaughtering him, he doesn't complain and he says, oh my Lord, why have you forsaken me? None of this business, you can't compare the two. But Allah replaces, doesn't it? So you find when Karbala takes place, this dhibhin azim is right here. They say Ali Akbar was so handsome, and I agree, it has to be, because he was a spitting image of the Messenger of Allah. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as he's preparing his son Ali Akbar to go, by the way, when the Banu Hashim went to fight in Karbala, all the companions were killed first, all of them. Burair, Muslim, all of them, they were all killed. Now the Banu Hashim were left, there were about 16 of them. The first one that goes forward is Ali Akbar. Among the Banu Hashim, the first one that goes is Ali Akbar. It must be very painful. For at least Ibrahim had the opportunity to close his eyes when he slaughtered his son. But our blessed Imam Hussein could not close his eyes. He had to witness the slaughter of his son. And then this son is coming to ask permission. Imam Hussein, as he's putting him on the horse, he looks up in the sky. He says, Allah, bear my witness that the most beautiful face I have seen, because he's like the Messenger of Allah. And that every time we want to remind ourselves of the Messenger of Allah, we would look at Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar is the one who was a spitting image of the Messenger. He says, oh Allah, bear witness of the zulm. These oppressors, what they're doing, oh Allah, bear witness on Judgment Day. That I am bearing witness of this zulm, that I have to send him forward. They say Ali Akbar climbs on the horse. And as he kicks forward, he goes, they say he was very strong as a fighter. He was only 19 years old. But a very strong fighter by Allah's grace, because his iman was filled with the spirit of Allah, like Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, who used to fight enemy and dislodge them fast, and people used to wonder how. He said, my fire for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I love to defend Islam. They say Ali Akbar goes forward, he dislodges, he kills many, he comes back, he goes back, he goes back, he comes back. Many a times he does that. Until finally he goes forward. There was a man by the name of Murra, Mala'een Murra, one of the enemies. But every time Ali Akbar would go forward before he meets this Murra, he would say, Ana Ali ibn al-Husayn. I am Ali, the son of Hussein, and my grandfather is the most honored in the eyes of Allah to be the representative for you. And he is from my grandfather. I am the most honored to be where I am. And you know, by the way, his mother Layla had a relationship with the Banu Umayyah directly. So he was very powerful in penetrating the enemy lines. He was talking to them from that relation, because they knew he was directly related to Muawiyah. He says, I am Ali, the son of Hussein, and my grandfather is Ali ibn Abi Talib, the most rightful successor, the rightful holder of the authority. Understand that. But every time he would come in front of them, what is fascinating is the enemy would look at him and they would talk to each other that this is the Messenger of Allah fighting us. This boy is the Messenger of Allah. So every time they would come near, they're about to strike him, they cannot, they move away. They say, we can't hit this boy, he looks like the Messenger to us. He would come with a smile looking at them, saying, I am Ali, come and fight me. Allahu Akbar. This Murra comes near him with a spear, a lance, and he strikes him and he lodges it into the heart of our blessed Ali Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I have pain. Although it happened a while, I have pain because Allah is so merciful. He has given us such good examples, such good people, such good khulq, such good character. I don't have time tonight, but I was going to touch on the importance of how children should respect their parents. I don't have time tonight, but I want you to quickly take a quick glance how Ali Akbar respected his father, how Ismail respected his father, how children who Allah loves respect their mothers and fathers. I just want to touch this tonight and leave you alone with that. Then when Ali Akbar falls, he looks at his father and says, "Ya Abati," and he falls. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, by the time he gets to him, they say the enemy cut Ali Akbar too many pieces. Allahu Akbar. How can a father lift the limbs of his son, lift the pieces of the body and bring it back under a tent and lay it to witness till Judgment Day? Lovers of Ahlul Bayt, let's rise. Lovers of Ahlul Bayt, let's do something fi sabilillah. Lovers of Ahlul Bayt, let's take the position that we've been blessed with. Ala la'natullahi al-qawm al-zalimin. Assalamu alayka. Ya Aba Abdullah. Wa ala al-arwah allati halat bi fina'i. Alaykum minni salamullah. أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعل الله آخر لحن مني لزيارتكم. Let's all recite together. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين صلوات الله محمد وآل محمد.